The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live again. Thank you. This is the 4 o'clock hour, about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Well, our Bible League campaign is officially over. But I promised you on Friday I would give you a final update on where we are with the Bible League campaign. What an incredible audience this is. I know I tell you this often, but it is the truth, folks. It is the truth. This audience is literally famous all over the United States and Christian radio because of your generosity. You are known far and wide for your generosity. I'm not making that up. And you have proved once again your deep, abiding love for God's word and God's people. Our goal for this Bible League campaign was $12,000. That would provide 2,400 Bibles because each Bible is $5 a piece. Now, if you're a regular listener, you know that our friend Tom Dolbo at Dolbo Insurance immediately put up a $6,000 matching grant. And Thursday before last, I approached you with that challenge. We got a $6,000 matching grant plus another matching grant from the Bible League, which meant every dollar you would give up to $6,000 would be tripled. Well, we met that matching grant before the program was over on Thursday. And then you continued to give. And you gave. And you gave. And you gave. And you gave. Here's the final total. I am just so blessed. I am so pumped about this. Again, the goal was $12,000, which would provide 2,400 Bibles. You gave 21,710 Bibles. The goal was 12,000. You gave $21,710, which will provide 4,342 Bibles. But wait, because of the matching grant, you can double that. So, over 8,700 Bibles because of your generosity. And I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. So many of you gave $10 gifts, $20 gifts, $500 gifts. We had a couple of $1,000 gifts. And together, you gave over $21,000 to provide Bibles for believers in Africa. And again, thank you, thank you, thank you. I promised you that I would give you a final report today, and I hope you are rejoicing with me over that incredible report. Thank you. Now, that's really good news. This is not good news, although, sadly, I'm not surprised. The folks at Gallup just released their annual poll of church membership. How many Americans are actually members of a church or a religious organization? That would include Christian churches, mosques, Buddhist temples, the whole ball of wax. members of any religious organization. They have been doing this for 80 years. Okay? They've been doing this for 80 years. They have just released the newest poll, and it is showing the smallest percentage of Americans since they've been doing the poll. Smallest in 80 years. In 1940, 73% of Americans were members of some religious organization. Of course, if you go back to the 1940s, you would be very, very hard-pressed to find a mosque. Buddhist temple, maybe. I mean, you'd have to really look for it. The overwhelming majority of those folks would have been members of Christian churches. And by the way, in 1940, most of those Christian churches were actually preaching the gospel and believing God's word. Not true so much today. But in 1940, 73% of Americans said, yes, I am a member of a church, synagogue, mosque, or whatever. 2020, 47%. 47%. And by the way, that number remained at 70 or above until, I'm looking at the data, until the year 2000. Until the year 2000. So actually they began in 1937. So from 1937 until the year 2000, the percentage was 70% or above. And now in 2020, just last year, it has dropped to 47%. Lowest percentage since they've been doing the poll. Let's see. The biggest increase are those who express no religious preference at all, the so-called nuns that we hear about often. Let me turn a couple pages here. Breaking down into the different age groups. The traditionalists born before 1946, currently they are at 66%. People born before 1946, 66% of them are members of some kind of religious organization. The baby boomers from 1946 to 1964, they're at 58%. Generation X, those born between 1965 and 1980, they are at 50%. And the millennials, 1981 to 1996, 36%. And I'm running out of time, but my personal opinion, the evangelical church in America, particularly for the last 20 years, has not done a good job in teaching our young people. They've done a pretty good job in reaching, you know, getting kids in, you know, having all kinds of cool stuff in the youth group and all that, and getting a big crowd. We have done a fairly good job in reaching teenagers, but we've done a pretty bad job in actually teaching them and discipling them. And when they get out of high school, leave mom and dad and leave their home church, they're not prepared to face the secular onslaught that most of them face. They know what they believe, but they don't know why they believe it. And that, indeed, is sad. Of course, the whole COVID thing certainly had a big impact on this last year, at least in attendance. But that would not explain the drop in membership. Loss of young people and the leftward slide of the mainline Protestant denominations are the two major reasons for this. The mainline Protestant denominations don't have real answers for life's problems. And people have fled the mainline Protestant denominations in record numbers. The America needs Bible-believing churches. If you are a member of a Bible-believing church, thank God for it and do everything you can to support it and to help build it. We need to reach people for Christ. Things have changed, yes, but the gospel is still the same, and the need of the human heart is still the same. All right, my number, 877-BOB-LIVE. We'll be right back.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
As most of you know, opening arguments started in the trial of Opening arguments have begun in the trial of the former Minneapolis police officer charged in George Floyd's death. It's receiving a great deal of publicity, and I hope this is what you want. I want justice. If he is guilty, I want him to be found guilty. If there were extenuating circumstances and he was not the real cause of death, then I want that to be discovered as well. I want the truth and I want justice. Sadly, that is not the desire of a whole lot of people. I would say probably the majority of people have already made up their mind. And it doesn't make any difference what comes out in the trial. The thing that troubles me the most is the way Minneapolis has handled this. To me, it is unconscionable for the city of Minneapolis to enter into a multi-million-dollar settlement with the family of George Floyd. Before George Floyd's, or I'm not George Floyd, the police officer, Chauvin, to enter into a multi-million dollar settlement with the family before the police officer's trial. I think that any reasonable person would say, how could he get a fair trial? Basically, the city of Minneapolis has said he's guilty. And so we're going to pay you millions and millions and millions of dollars because our police officer is guilty in the murder of your family member. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that the settlement was wrong or inappropriate. I'm not saying that at all. But the timing. How could anybody receive a fair trial when the city had reached this multi-million dollar settlement before the trial even began? And may I challenge you on this? If that doesn't trouble you, is your real desire justice or revenge? I think it is a foregone conclusion that this police officer is going to be found guilty. I'm assuming that. Again, I want justice, I want the truth, but I am assuming he is going to be found guilty. Of what charge? Because he's got, I think, three different charges. I don't know. But I can promise you this. If he were to be acquitted, the city of Minneapolis will be burned down and we will have riots across America, probably far worse than the riots we saw last summer. I hope not, but I think that would be the case. And the jurors in the case must be incredibly brave because, again, if this police officer were acquitted, doesn't seem likely, but if that were to happen, every one of those jurors will have their lives at great risk. Great risk. So my attitude, my desire, my prayer is that truth will come out and justice will be done. That is my desire. And if that is not, may I say this? If that is not your desire, my friend, you got a real problem. If your desire is just for vengeance and a pound of flesh and blood, if that is your desire and your desire is not just for truth and justice, you've got a real serious problem. And I hope you would be willing to face that. I would hope. The trial is going to go at least a week, possibly longer. And as the days go by, I will do my best to keep you informed as to what's happening in the trial. Obviously, an enormous amount of public attention on this trial. And I hope none of you, none of us, have already made up our mind. So, well, Bob, you already said what you think is going to happen. Yeah, that's my educated guess, but I've not made up my mind. And I hope you haven't either. Not if we really want justice, but so many people do not want justice. They want revenge. That's all they want. They want revenge. All right, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Easter. This is an important week in the Christian calendar. This coming weekend, we celebrate the resurrection of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is our World Series, Super Bowl, America's Cup, Stanley Cup, all rolled into one. Easter. We'll be back.